from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who's here for you. I'm here to take your mind off of stuff and keep you company, but I'll be doing it in a pretty goofy and silly way if you're new, and I'll never actually get to any points, but there won't be any points. There'll be soft, rounded things, and more nubs than points. The podcast with a lot of nubs and not many points. The podcast, you know, podcast, the nub, it's more of a nubcast than a podcast. And what am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about Sleep With Me. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you're new, not super important this next part, but if you're a regular listener, this is how we're able to bring you the show free. So if you don't listen now, when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would Sleep With Me be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach. I sleep on my side. I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo. Modern management made simple. Hey, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. It's a part of the show where I celebrate the people who support the show so we can bring it to you free on a regular basis. And I want to celebrate Chancellor of Candy, Talia, and Luna. Now, Chancellor of Candy, they got some brand new Sleep With Me podcast, Glow in the Dark Stars, sleep pants on the, you know, on the backside for their birthday. And it looks like a Sleep With Me podcast tank from our merch store. And then Luna signed up with Quip, got brand new, you talk about healthy habits. Luna's got healthy habits supporting Quip, and I really appreciate it. If you support a sponsor, tag the sponsor in a social media post or send them an email. Let me know about it or tag me in the post so I can try to thank you on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. And by the way, this podcast is here to support good sleep, but if you need more support than this podcast can provide, be sure to check our show notes for resources that are out there for you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for supporting the show. Oh, Mystery Bard, before we slow it down, who helps out on the show?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
And edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny Scotty. Jennifer,
runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie and Jennifer, these are your narrators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you could find me. Now it's time to slow it down. If you want, sign up for our future one-day newsletter at sleepwithmepodcast.com/newsletter. And what do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever is keeping you awake. So it could be thoughts, you know, you're thinking about things on your mind, thoughts, feelings, feelings, you know, emotions coming up. So things you're thinking about, you know, past, present, or future, feelings like emotions or physical sensations. It could be changes in time or temperature or routine. Like a lot of routine, when changes aren't routine, they're, you know, it's more changes in your routine. Anything, whatever's keeping you up, it could be something else. What I'm going to do, or what I propose to do, what I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place. I got plenty of room here. I'll send it over there. We got that going. And the way I'll do it is I'll send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'll use lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. I'm going to go off topic. I'm not going to make a lot of sense. I won't get to any points. Like I said, I'm going to get to a point about nubs in a bit and nibs. I don't know if I'll talk about nibs, but nibs are a thing. Also, the great Kate Nibs wrote an article about the podcast once. She's a great writer and podcast person. But so where was I? I guess I got off track there. I was pandering. I'm going to go off top. I'm going to get off track. I just demonstrated that by accident. So if you're new, I want you to know a few things, especially if you found your way here through some other means and you're brand new. This podcast, one, it is a bit more than a bit different. It's a very different, a bit strange. So it's one thing to know. So if you're skeptical or doubtful or you're feeling, I don't know exactly know what ambivalent means or meant, but I can see, you see, well, I'm not so sure about it, what this going to, you know. That's a perfectly normal reaction for this show. So I want to acknowledge that that's totally normal. And probably sit with those feelings because you'll probably be feeling those for a while. But I want to give you some basic info. Like one thing is this podcast does not work for everybody. So give it a few tries and kind of see how it goes. I'd like you to give it a try, but you don't have to. But if you do give it one try, give it a couple, because there's like a lot of people that listen and most of them said it took two or three tries before I realized this podcast will never make any sense. Like the most sensible thing about it is that it never makes any sense. So give it a few tries. That's the it leads into the next point, which is this is kind of a podcast you don't really listen to. Or if you're listening to it expectantly, you're probably going to be, if you're expecting me to get to a point or start a story or start making sense, or you say, oh boy, I can't wait for Scoots to talk about the next Welcome to Night Vale novel or The Princess Bride and cover those in detail, you might be waiting a while because I don't really, like, I'm not good at getting to the point. So this podcast is kind of best consumed loosely or out of focus. Where you're like, huh, I'm not sure, not quite sure I understand what he's talking about. Don't need to know. That's like somebody falling asleep. Don't necessarily need to know if he does or he will. So try to approach it with a loose grip and you don't need to listen. This is the one podcast you can only kind of barely listen to if you want. You could actively non-listen. That's one of the lessons I get. Like you pretend you're listening. That works a lot better than actually listening to this show. You just lie there and bet, Scoots, oh boy. You said Oshkosh Bagosh again. And then did your thing. Wow, really? So you were going to talk about nibs and nubs eventually, but you're in the middle of talking about, So it's a podcast you don't need to listen to. Strangely enough, while this is a Sleep With Me, and it's one of the main bedtime story podcasts for grownups, and a lot of kids listen now too. What up, kids? It's also a podcast that doesn't necessarily put you to sleep. It's here while you fall asleep, so it's a little bit different. Like I don't know any actual sleep podcasts that put me like a. Like, I guess when I think about a sleep podcast, I think about someone kind of like doing something and that makes you fall asleep, right? I more just take your mind off of stuff and keep you company while you drift off because you don't really have to pay attention to me. So it's a little bit different. I'm here to be your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar cuz, your boar bestie, your boar bruh. Maybe your boar bot. I don't know. It does not compute, but I'm here. Yeah, I'm here to be at your bedside and take your mind off of stuff. So, and then if you can't listen, if you can't sleep, you don't need to listen. I think that was the other thing. But if you can't sleep, I'm going to be here till the end. So I'll be here for about an hour, whether you're awake or asleep, to take your mind off stuff and keep you company. So that's it. Then the structure of the show. Now, the show's structure is also very different, and it can throw people off, especially if you come in expecting one thing. Like, if you expected it, like, they said, well, remember those, like, those goddesses from that movie, the Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Boo goddesses? And I'd say, yeah, I do. Actually, I do remember them. Right. I mean, they never got their own movie, huh? No, they didn't. They didn't get their own movie. Well, they got a podcast now. Really? And they're god, are they goddesses or are they just magic users? Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I'm pretty sure they could fly. Like, they may have wings. So I think that makes them goddesses and not magic users. Because otherwise that spell would eventually wear off. Okay, but they could be a magic-based being. You know, a magical being. Okay, well, could we just say they're goddesses? But that would also generally mean demigoddesses and those kind of magical beings. Sure, we could agree on that. You're very agreeable. Well, thanks. I was here. So they started a podcast. Really, they started a podcast, those goddesses from the Bibbidi Bobbidi Goddesses. Yeah, it's called Bibbidi Bobbidi Poof. Wow. And how does it work? Well, they have different ones for different things that people have going on with them. Wow, it's interesting. Well, it's not. Well, yeah, it is. It's actually not interesting because they use magic. It doesn't need to be interesting because it's magical. Okay, so why are you telling me this? Well, they have one to put people to sleep. It's like a three to 8 seconds long. Okay, tell me more. Yeah, it's called the Bibbidi Bobbidi Poof Sleep Show. They're title pending, they said, though. Okay, well, that's good news for me. That title's strange. Well, no, because they're the Bibbidi Bobbidi. Okay, no, I mean, okay, it just doesn't have the best SEO. Here's the thing, if you're magical, you don't need SEO. Oh, yeah, you're right about that. So anyway, so it's a sleep podcast. It's like 8 seconds long. I don't know. I think it's like 8 seconds long. They just say, you just start it, and then they say, Bibbidi Bobbidi Poof. And while they're doing that, our human ears can't hear the magic, but we experience the magic, puts you to sleep. And that's the whole podcast. Yep, it's the whole podcast. Does it have one episode or multiple episodes? Well, right now, it's just a trailer. They haven't put out the show yet. Huh. Okay, and is it, wow, that sounds like it's going to be, sounds like it's not going to be good for my show. Why do you say that? Well, if it instantly puts you to sleep, why would people need sleep with me? Well, Scoots, I don't need to tell you this because you just explained it for 10 minutes. Your show's here to keep people company while they drift off. Their show is there for people to be magically sent off into dreamland. A totally different show. That's why it's only 8 seconds long. Okay. Okay. I guess I'm with you. But I was trying to explain to you the structure of the show. So a show like that, it doesn't need a lot of structure. Our show has structures different. So if you came in expecting the Bibbidi Bobbidi Poof show, I guess I could record that and put it out as a separate podcast, but that's a totally different thing. So this show structurally, it starts off with business. The show starts off with a greeting, then business, and then an intro. And that's the business at the beginning is how we're able to keep the show free. Then there's an intro. Now, so the business throws some people off, but what really throws new people off is the intro, because it's around 12 to 20 minutes long of just me rambling about stuff like Bibbidi Bobbidi Poof. And at first, some people think it's like an advertisement, I think. And then some people, they say, well, this isn't a bedtime story, or I'm not so sure I enjoy listening to you, which are all legitimate things. So let me tell you why the intro is so long. The intro is so long because unlike the Bibbidi Bobbidi Poof show, this podcast is here to keep you company as you drift off. And for regular listeners, the intro is like part of their wind down routine. Now, there's like 2% of listeners that start the show at about 20 minutes and they just listen to the whatever starts at 20 minutes and then the story. Tonight will be me trying to remember the plot of The Princess Bride and remember if I already did a podcast episode about it or not. So they started there, but 98% of listeners, well, there's listeners that support the show on Patreon, but that's a little different. But so most listeners, the intro is part of their wind down or their unwinding. So they'll start listening at bedtime, either before they get in bed or while they're in bed. And I kind of like, because I just don't know anything that works as well as that Bibbidi Bobbidi Poof show. I wish I had hair that would go along with that, and that a hair, like, I wish I had big poof, a hair that had a poof on it. A pouffant. Is that a kind of haircut? Is any, I guess you'd have, you'd say, what kind of haircut does your poodle have? A pouffant. It's like a bouffant for poodles. But I mean, I could see myself, if I had hair that had, like, was poofable, I would do that Bibbidi Bobbidi Poof. Or if I had a salon, I guess if I had a poodle salon, I would say that while I was working. Of course, until the big company that has all the money, they said, well, actually, you can't say Bibbidi or Bobbidi with any other words without a license. And then actually their competitor would say, well, you know, in the name of Harry Potter, you can't say poof either. And I'd say, I never heard Harry Potter say poof in my imagination, maybe in my imagination. Yeah. So I guess I'll wait till I get those letters in the mail. Usually they not, you know, they always knock first and they say, can you sign here? And I say, you know, I'm just going to crumble this up and put it somewhere for 2 or 3 months and then wonder what was in that envelope. Is this about my Magical Express reservation? No. Okay. So anyway, enough humor. So the intros are really long to give you a chance to get into bed, get comfortable, or get ready for bed and get comfortable, to ease you into bedtime. So that's the intro. Then there's some business, such as kind of the structure of how podcasting works. So I'll have some business that helps keep the show free. And then we'll have the story part of the show, where I'll talk briefly about the new Night Vale Presents novel and try to think up a friendly name for that. The friendly-faced woman who plays hide-and-seek in your home. That's like what the novel's not named, but the name is similar. And then I'll talk about The Princess Bride. So it's a structure of the show. I guess it kind of covered the rules. The reason I make this show, I've been there. Tossing and turning, yes. Mind racing, oh boy, that's my middle. That's one of my hobbies. They say, because there was that movie about car racing that came out recently. They didn't call me like to have me be an advisor on that. But I said, if there was ever a movie about mind racing, if that was actually a thing, like I say, what about, you know, all those movies about kids in video games saving the world, or, you know, car racing, you know, showing how great our, you know, our belief system is. How come no one glorifies mind racing? They say this kid, it was the greatest mind. His mind was racing before, like Ricky Bobby. My mind was racing before I said, I want to overthink. I want to overthink in a quick way that's both quick and feels painfully slow. So I've been there, and waking up early, waking up, not being, you know, I've been there. So I want to help. I also want to help because I believe you truly deserve a good night's sleep or a place of respite right now where you could get away, where you could drift off. Your world and our world is going to be a better place if you're well rested, or at least you have a little relaxation and distraction. So I guess that's kind of everything. I thought I was going to talk about, I'll have to talk about Nubs and Nibs a different time. And maybe one day I'll put out that Bibbidi Bobbidi Poof podcast just to see what those companies do. I think I might do that. They would all be, here's a spoiler, they would all be the same. I'd say, well, this is the one about exercise. That would be the title. And then it would be Bibbidi Bobbidi Poof. I don't think the O is in there. That's just one of my like verbal thingamajigs. I don't know, like I just... See, I just did it naturally when I'm in a state of podcasting. So that's it. I'm glad you're here. I really hope the show can help you. Like I said, give it a few tries and see, because that's how most listeners found the show was helpful. But I really appreciate you coming by. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive to help you fall asleep. And here's a couple ways we're able to keep this podcast free for everybody. All right, everybody, I want to thank Claritin, tonight's sponsor, for supporting this episode and providing me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, hey everybody, so it's Scoots here, and I've been reading the new Night Vale Presents novel, The Friendly-Faced Woman Who Plays Hide-and-Seek in Your Home, by Joseph Fink and Jeffrey Craner. Now it comes out under a different title that you'll see. I'll link to it in the show notes. And oh boy, have I been enjoying this this novel. It's just taken me in so many unexpected directions because you say, well, this is what I expect a Welcome to Night Vale novel to be. Now this gives you, this delivers on your expectations, but it takes them in a totally different direction at the same time. And it is really, really, really fun. And I just wanted to, I'm going to read you a little bit about it. But it, like, I'm about 215 pages into the novel. I cannot wait to finish it. Probably so I can read it again. It came out March 24th. And it's written by Joseph Fink and Jeffrey Craner, authors of the New York Times bestselling Welcome to Night Vale novels. Welcome to Night Vale that came out in 2015 and It Devours came out in 2017. They're also creators of the hit podcast, Welcome to Night Vale. And this new novel is The Friendly-Faced Woman Who Plays Hide-and-Seek in Your Home. It's a Harper Perennial hardcover. It's $21.99. And it takes readers deeper into the lore of Night Vale, talks about one of the most interesting residents of the town. And you get to live her whole backstory. Holy moly, that's not in the writing, but wow. This original adventure tale follows a compelling and slightly unexpected story of the friendly-faced woman who plays hide-and-seek in your every home in Night Vale, and all of the possible adventures she could take you on and the motivations behind adventures, not all of which are always pure at heart. It's got a little bit of Count of Monte Cristo. It's got novels that I cannot mention here. And it has for me a little taste of The Princess Bride. It's told in flashbacks throughout her life, through 18th century Europe, already conquered by Napoleon, goes to Mediterranean estate, nautical adventure. And I'm not even sure, I'm only halfway through this book, so I cannot wait to see what happens next. I feel like a kid and I feel like I should be saying this ba-dum-bum. Like I'm on Reading Rainbow. The friendly-faced woman who lives... Do you like adventure stories? Do you like nautical tales? Do you like heroines leading a crew of misfits? Then you're going to love the friendly-faced woman who lives in your home and plays hide-and-seek with you. This is Little Andy telling you to check it out. Ba-dum-bump. So that's the friendly-faced woman. It also goes back to present-day Night Vale and her playing hide-and-seek in someone's home. And there's so much humor with that, and her buddy Craig. And we love Craig on this podcast. We love that name. So check it out. By the time you're hearing this, it should already be available. I will put a link into the show notes. There's also the audiobook, which is narrated by actress and author Mara Wilson, who plays the character on Welcome to Night Vale. And use the link because the title is actually a little bit different than that, but you'll be able to figure it out. In reading this book made me think, have I ever talked about, what's the name of that movie that I was going to talk about tonight? What's it called? The Princess Bride before. And I said, have I done an episode about it or if I just talked about it? And I said, I don't know. So I said, let's do it. So here you go. Scoots is going to talk here. Tell the tape about The Princess Bride. All right. So the movie, The Princess Bride. So I'm still like that. I still am trying to think if I've done an episode about this. And if you're new, and this might be my second time explaining it, but this is like a tale of the tape episode. So it's where I take it, the tale of the tape. Well, the tale of the tape is like I try to remember. I run the tape of the movie in my mind and see because they say, I've seen this movie probably 30 times, and how much of the plot do I even remember? And then on top of it is the fact that part of me is like, Scoots, I think you did this as an episode, but I don't think I did. Then part of me is like, I don't think we did. I don't remember ever releasing it. So this could be a moment where we kissed the old, when did Sleep With Me kiss the dolphin, as they say, when they talk about TV shows and Fonzie, after that famous Perfect Strangers episode where Fonzie came on and kissed a dolphin, you say, oh, that's when Sleep With Me kissed the dolphin, when Scoots did a second, but the funniest thing was, only six people noticed. But and Scooch was not one of them because he's still like, I don't think I did do an episode about it. So The Princess Bride. Here's the thing. I've read the book. I probably read the book somewhere between 2010 and 2015, but I don't know when I read it. And I was reading it bit by bit to my daughter as a bedtime story. And as I said, I got inspired to do this episode by the new Night Vale book. And so, let's see. I was going to set up because not everybody's familiar with this, right? I'm pretty sure the book was written by William Goldman. But I'm not sure if the book was written. I'm not sure. I was like, was it a screenplay and then a novelization of the screenplay? Or was it a William Goldman novel that was made into a screenplay that was made into a movie? So I don't know those questions. I don't know the answer to that question. I think that Rob Reiner made the movie, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But I would be willing to wager, I would be able to wager that it could be wrong because like it's 70% wrong, but I want to say it's a Rob Reiner movie, but I'm not sure. So The Princess Bride is the name of the movie. It came out in the 1980s or maybe the 90s. Again, if you said Scooch, you got to give me a number. Let's say, okay, somewhere between 1989 and 1992. And then you would say, okay, Scooch, now set the mood. When did you first see it? Did you see it in the theater? I say, I did not see it in the theater. As a matter of fact, I honestly don't even remember like it being in the movie theater. And oh boy, did I miss out on an opportunity. I'll be perfectly frank with you. I'm very disappointed in my past self One, for not seeing it in a movie theater, and two, not being aware of it. I wasn't even aware of it, where I said, well, I don't think I'm going to see that. So there's a couple of things that brings up that are interesting to me and good for a sleep podcast. Why wasn't I aware of it? Was it the marketing budget for the movie, or was it like the actual marketing? If it was the marketing budget, was it just not marketed enough? Because we'll go into when I first saw it. And so that's one question. So they say, well, huh, that's weird that I'm not aware of seeing any marketing for it. So was it the marketing more focused on all the characters whose names I'm never going to remember, Buttercup and Wesley, and more of romance? Or did it seem like it was being more marketed as a children's movie? Or like an all-star, like a vehicle, like a, what do they call those when there's like a bunch of cameo, like a cameo movie? I mean, I was in full angst at those were my most angsty years. But I can't even imagine, like, I can't remember. Usually I remember myself being disdainful of things and being like, oh boy, no, I have teen angst. I can't see a movie called The Princess Bride. I don't even know what that means, The Princess Bride. So as a movie, I would say it's an action-adventure romance. If you had to say, Scoots, give me one genre, I'd say action-adventure romance. But you say it like as one word, would be the genre of the film. And, I was telling, when did I first see it? So I first saw it around, not that long after it came out. But I guess like they used to delay stuff like a long time. It used to be a movie would come out, then it would go into the second run theaters, which we had a good one by us that we used to go to a lot. So again, I would assume, and that could be interesting, is me. Hold on, I got to pause the recorder here. Okay, sorry, I just wrote down to look up the second run movie theater by my, like, that was by my house, too far to walk. Well, now as an adult, I probably would walk there. I mean, I probably wouldn't, but I guess it was too far to walk. It was near one of my friend Charlie's houses, walking distance from his house. It was called the Genesee Theater. I'm pretty sure it was not, but it was in Westvale, but it was called the Genesee Theater. I think it was on West Genesee Street too. We'll have to get back to Westvale Plaza in another point, because that's weird. It was a plaza. So like a shopping center plaza, you know, they drive in. And it had not just one, but four important touchstones of my youth. That's interesting too. So I guess we'll have to get back to that too. But back to The Princess Bride. So I didn't see it in the second run theater. And then, so I saw it at someone's house, and I think it was during the day. So I'm pretty sure, I don't think we were not at school when we were supposed to be, but maybe it was like a half, I'm pretty sure it was like a half day of school. So it could have been when you're younger, and you just go to somebody's house and you watch, you have a movie night before you're like, when you're a teenager, but you're not like you're an angsty teenager, but you haven't moved on to angsty teenager activities, which is me scoffing and being disdainful and having bad attitude. So we watched it at someone's house. So back then, so a movie would come out in the theater, it would go to a second run theater, then it wouldn't come out for public video. They called it, what did they call it? Home video back then. And this was the days of Blockbuster. You know, when people say things don't change, you say, okay, well, yeah, they do, because I remember when you had to go to Blockbuster to get a movie like a year after it came out. Maybe it would be 6 months, but it would be like so long between when the movie was in the theater and it came out on video that you kind of forgot about it. And so I remember being at somebody's house, and this was a good move, whoever did it. One of my friends, it was either Debbie, Alicia, or Megan, I'm guessing one of the three of them, and they had already picked the movie out. So it wasn't not a, it wasn't like all of us had to agree on a movie. I said, well, let's watch The Princess Bride. And at this point, I do remember scoffing or kind of being like, The Princess Bride. And then I think I'd have been more aware of it. But this was one of those movies where once it started, my mouth, I got really quiet and I was into this film. Like 100, maybe like the first few minutes, it took me a little while. But after that, I was totally into it. So we started watching the movie. So now I guess I'll move into the movie because this is like my archetypal memory of the film anyway. And speaking of scoffing, holy cow, am I going to remember any of these? Okay, Fred Savage and Columbo, whose name, Peter something, it'll come to me. Peter Falk. So the movie starts out with Fred Savage. Fred Savage's mother may be in it, or like a character playing Fred Savage's mother, or her voice may be in it. But Fred Savage is like home from school on like a snow day or something, and he's bored. And Peter Falk is playing his grandfather, his loving grandfather. And he uses a little subtle psychology on Fred Savage because they think Fred Savage might have been playing video games or whatever. And they said, listen, kid, you got to do something more productive for your brain. And Peter Falk says, what about a little theater of the mind? And Fred Savage says, it's theater of the lame, man. I think this was pre-Wonder Years, but maybe not, the TV show. Or I don't know if he was already on that TV show. I have no idea. So I shouldn't have said that because I don't have any clue. But I think so, because he was just a boy in this movie. So maybe this movie came out in the 80s and not the 90s. I think Wonder Years was in the 90s, and Fred Savage was in high school in the 80s, but in the 1950s. I know it's confusing. It was a confusing time for all of us, believe me. But so Fred Savage was a kid. I don't know his name. Kid. He was just the kid, maybe. The kid in the bed on a snow day. And Peter Falk was the grandfatherly figure, also narrator. So he says, so Fred Savage says, man, that's lame. Theater of the mind, that'll never be a thing. And Peter Falk said, well, once upon a time it was radio and storytelling. And he said, well, I just got this awesome book here. And Fred Savage says, does anyone kiss one another in the book? And he says, possibly. And then he says, not for me. I'm not a believer in romance either, Grandpa. And the grandfather laughs and says, okay, well, I guess I'll go on my way. So, you know, it's just a book about, you know, adventure and swashbuckling. Buckling of swashes, cool stuff, people, unforgettable characters, and, other, like, also a lot of actors, you wouldn't believe it, like Christopher Guest, Mandy Patinkin, just to name two that, like blow your mind. And Fred Savage says, wait a second, did you say Christopher Guest? And he said, that's just for starters. And they said, so you're planting those seeds in my mind of who I'll picture. And the grandfather says, not yet, my young lad. But he said, anyway, you're not interested in kissing and romance, so I'll just be on my way. And then Fred Savage says, oh, no, Grandpa, you know, give me a second. Now, we all know, I guess maybe you could tell. I don't know if you could read a book to a kid in 2 hours. I don't know if that's possible. But I have a feeling, especially if I was reading it, you'd only get through like one chapter and maybe two chapters in 2 hours. That's why I can't like do audiobooks because you see what that book's like 8,000 hours long. And that's an appeal for a lot of people, what I say. I can barely pay attention. The longest I can pay attention is when I'm making a sleep podcast and trying to remember something I can't even remember. So Peter Falk, the grandfather, said, okay, like settle down. Get in bed, I'll read you this story. And then, so then we go, we transfer, and we will take interludes with the two of them. I think probably only like at the act breaks, or I don't know if it's the exact act breaks. I have no idea. I was just guessing there. Probably trying to impress you with using act break, but in between parts of the story. And also, like, you know, Fred Savage is representing some portion of the audience and saying, huh, well, this is my concern with this part of the story. So, okay, so all of those things. So the movie starts with Buttercup. And Buttercup is, so this is a little bit of a movie about the class system and the roles we play as human beings, I think. But so Buttercup I guess in the movie she's some sort of upper middle class, but not, she's probably, I don't even know what landed gentry means, but I think it means you own, you know, homeowner with land. And I don't know if she's necessarily royal, but she has some attitude. I think well-earned attitude. And like she's headstrong. I don't know. Some people say that in a bad way, but I would say Buttercup is headstrong in a good way. Hopefully that's the character's name. She's played by Robin Wright. And so she like lives on a farm with her, I presume her family. I don't think we ever see her family. And there's a farm worker named Wesley, a farm boy, she calls him. Now, this next part of the movie has been the jumping off point for multiple films and Blaze novels and stuff. So the next few minutes, you get into like a possible territory because she always says she likes to boss him around. And she says, farm boy. You know, fetch me that water. And he always says, as you wish. And I think this is still, I can hear Peter Falk's grandfather's voice setting this up. Eventually he's in love with her. She's in love with him. Now, I don't know when we learn his name. Maybe Peter Falk tells us his name's Wesley, but she calls him farm boy. And they slowly fall in love. Like at some point he says, as you wish, you know, their hands touch, they're by like a wishing well, they kiss, or maybe they almost kiss. And so they I think probably they almost kiss because Fred Savage doesn't like kissing. But so they're doing great. Their romance is just blossoming. Now, meanwhile, and I don't know if they go through, like, they're going through town, but there's a prince going through town. Now, the prince is not, I always get mixed up who Christopher Guest plays, whether it's the prince or the prince's, like, he plays the prince's lackey, I believe, yes. Oh, yeah, the prince is played by, I'm pretty sure the prince is played by this actor with great gravitas. Oh, great gravitas. I can't think of who it is. But maybe it'll come to me. But so Prince Humperdinck is like, he's handsome. He's like a royal, like actual royalty. And he has his sidekick, whose name I can't, who's played by Christopher Guest. And like, I don't know, he decides, I don't know if they're driving through and he sees Buttercup or he meets her at a festival or there's some sort of whatever. I don't know how he meets Buttercup. But he decides, oh boy, am I going to marry Buttercup? She's going to be a queen. Like he's going to be king at some point. At this point, his father is still king. And I'm pretty sure the queen's still around too, or maybe only the queen's around. I don't know. But, no, I think the king and the queen. So I don't really remember. I mean, I guess I'm trying to see if I could remember, but so Wes, like they say, okay, you're marrying Buttercup. You're going to marry Prince Humperdinck. And I don't know if this is before this or after it, but I think it was before it. While Wesley and Buttercup are flirting, she says, well, you gotta she goes, we live in this, whatever, patriarchal society and it's not fair to anybody. It's a class, also a class system. And you gotta have a dowry or something or some sort of status in order for me to be released from one patriarch to another. And he's played by Cary Hughes, I think that's how you say it, who I've talked about before, because where was he? He was recently on a show. So Wesley says, okay, well, I'm going to go out and in search of adventure and treasure or whatever, and I'll be back I think that's what happens. Like, he goes away first, so then Prince Humperdinck meets Buttercup. This is like the least important part of the movie, but well, I guess not really. So Prince Humperdinck meets Buttercup and says, by the way, really like you. I think we'd make a good couple. I'm a high status, looking for a queen. You're very regal, very headstrong in a good way. What do you think? And she says, well, I'm sworn to another. I'm in love with Wesley. You seem like a decent enough chap, but sorry, I'm not into it, really. And to be honest, I'm always going to love him. You like, just waiting for him to return from adventure, you know, to deal with the system we have. And eventually, him and his Christopher Guest, they come up with an idea of, like, they say, the Count, I think his name is, I can't remember, not Count Chocula and not a Count with the numbers, though there is an important number with him. But so they say, well, actually, by the way, Wesley, he went away on adventure. And while he was adventuring, we heard that his ship, and I guess this was factual, huh? I always thought it was made up, but actually I think it's factual. So maybe she had already found out about this, but they said, by the way, his ship was captured by this guy, the Dread Pirate Roberts, a little bit like Lady Witchbeard, but a little bit different. And Dread Pirate Roberts, you know, he like so Wesley's not going to come back. He has his own system, and it wouldn't have worked out well for Wesley. So she's kind of heartbroken, I guess, and says, "Eventually, I'll get married to you, I guess, Humperdinck. But give me some time. Let's just have long. I don't know if they get married. I don't think they do." She says, when you're going to be king, I guess I'll marry you, maybe. I'll think about it. Like something like that. And he says, okay, fair enough. And then it gets old, like the king and the queen are older. It becomes time, I think it becomes time for her to get married. And she's like out, she's out riding her horse to clear her mind. That's what it is. Like, whatever, she says, I got to go on a, like, what do they call those? Like solo moon, she goes out, takes her horse out, they go out on the town. And while they're out there, she meets up with freaking Wallace Shawn, Mandy Patinkin, and Andre the Giant. And I don't know what their characters' names are. Indigo Montoya. But I don't think there's a D in there. Indigo Montoya. And then Fezzig and... Oh, I thought he had like a nickname. But I mean, think about those three together. Holy moly. So they like to say, hey, you're going to come with us. We're going to take you on a fun trip. And eventually, like, the king will give us gold. They say, we got this idea. It's called the double dowry. And she says, what do you mean a double dowry? And they say, well, you know, with this system, they say, well, we're not in the class system either. We're outside of the class system. We're on the margins of it. And so we figured out a way, like the king and the queen are already getting in the whatever Humperdinck are going to pay your family, I assume, a dowry, or, you know, your status will be elevated. And if we just hang with you for a while, then you're like, we'll get a dowry from Humperdinck too. And she says, well, I'd prefer not, because I don't really know any of you that well. But she finds out that, like, while Sean's character is not exactly the best, but the other two are very, Andre Fezzig and Inigo Montoya are great. So she says, okay. Now, meanwhile, they hop in a boat to hit the road, right? And This is really set up because these are kind of like, at first they kind of seem like a little bit antagonistic, these characters, but they're very likable. I think just because of the performances and the writing and the directing and everything else. But so they're in a boat, right? What is his name? Well, Sean's character's name. I thought he was called the something. Because he goes, you don't get in a land war. Maybe he's called the Sicilian. I don't know. But so they're in a boat and they're sneaking off until they get their double dowry. Because they say, well, the princes, you know, they got a bunch of horses and lances and stuff like that. And then they notice a boat's following them and they say, okay, let's go faster. This is the fastest boat around. And they say, well, that boat's still keeping up with us. And they say, okay, well, it's not like a, while Sean says, okay, well, we're going to go to these cliffs that are unscalable, except for Andre the Giant. Then they have Andre the Giant climb this cliff with all three of them because he's so strong. Now, Andre the Giant was like a beloved wrestler and actor in the 80s. It'd be like, even though he also played like antagonistic characters, he was always beloved. I think he was beloved and beloved. So he climbs the cliff, then they look down and they see this mysterious character all in black, very pirate-esque, following him. And inconceivable, that's what Wallace Shawn's character says all the time. Inconceivable, over and over again. And there's a lot of humor. They get up the top of the cliff and they say it's impossible or inconceivable for anyone to be able to scale it. They say, well, this guy, this pirate dude is still coming. And then he says, okay, Inigo, deal with it. We're out of here. And he says, okay. Then we get like a... I don't know, this performance in this scene is just so, like, every scene is just so good. Yeah, but these are some of the highlights of the movie. So he's up there, Inigo Montoya, man of honor, Spanish swordsman, I believe, greatest swordsperson in the world. And he says, hey, I'm waiting up here for you. By the way, like, first I think they try to, like, trip him up, there's a lot of like rapport and humor. And then this character gets up there and they greet each other. He says, don't worry, have a break. I'm the best swordsman in the world. And I don't know if this is, at this point we realize that it's Wesley, but I'll just tell you it is. But he's dressed all like in like black silk, like a sexy pirate ninja. I don't know how else to put it, but the truth. And he says, they say, okay. And then he says, we'll sword fight after you have some water and stuff. That's what Inigo Montoya says. And then he says, why don't I tell you, why don't we start sword fighting? I'll tell you my whole backstory. So then he reveals his backstory, how he became the greatest swordsman. And he's only working this job, not because he's interested in a double dowry, but because he's in a quest to find this a six-fingered man who he's out, like very similar to characters in my story, out to get Bezos. He says, I'd like to teach. He owes me $5 and, you know, I'll never rest. He actually owed my father $5 and I have a speech and everything. He goes, my name is Inigo Montoya. You owe my father $5. Prepare to pay up because you like with interest, by the way, which is a lot because it's been like 30 years. So then they say, then there's like a bunch of fun stuff, like where you realize that actually Wesley's also like unbelievable swordsman. And so they have this grand sword fight, straight out of like a movie from any era. Very fun, but Wesley does end up getting the upper hand, but he still shows, like, he still wants, like, Inigo to have success. So then Wesley takes off. Then he runs across Andre the Giant, who actually is a giant, and they say, okay, like, he says, okay, well, we have to, like, do some, like WWF. And then Wesley says, I don't know what that is. He says, World Wrestling Federation. He goes, it's like, he goes, you never heard of, like, SummerSlam or Sweaty Nights or Hot Summer Evenings? Wesley goes, no. He goes, WrestleMania? No. He goes, well, I'll show you. So then he goes, but you're really outmatched because I'm a giant. Also had a career in this before this. So then, but Wesley's just too smart. He outsmarts Andre the Giant. Again, you see that he has a great kind heart. He didn't really want to do it. They're both kind of in the grip of Wallace Shawn. I mean, who wouldn't blame him? But then he tricks them. Next thing you know, he goes around the corner, and like while Sean's sitting there with like a picnic set up, and Buttercup, I think, but Buttercup's like sleeping or something. She can't see that it's Wesley, or maybe she can. Then there's also a jump back because we see that the Prince Humperdinck and Christopher Guest have caught up the count. And they're tracking them, and they see, they you realize that either Prince Humperdinck or Christopher Guest is like an expert tracker, because they say, oh, look at this sword fight that was here. And then look at this, there's a giant, and he was outsmarted. But then we get to Wallace Shawn. He says, okay, well, you know, you out-gianted my giant, you out, like, fenced my fencer. So I'm going to out, I'm an intellectual. So I'm going to out intellectual you. And this one has probably been used before, but I had never seen it used before. So the payoff is just so good, where while Sean says, I propose this game of intellect, and I'm like, it's called this water sippy game or something. And they say, well, geez, we've never played that game before. But meanwhile, Wesley has played it. So Wesley's like, oh, still one step ahead of him. Iocane powder. And so he ends up besting Wallace Shawn in a gig battle of wits. I mean, that's what they actually have. I think that's what Wallace Shawn even says it. Or the count. I'm trying to think what happens next. I think what happens next, at some point they get teamed back up, but I don't think it's yet. I think what happens is Wesley tries to say, hey, Buttercup, let's go. But he's still dressed as the Dread Pirate Roberts, and she runs off. They roll down this hill together, and as they're rolling down the hill separately, he says, as you wish. Then they get down into... the smelly swamp, and they're together, and they say, thank goodness we're together here in the smelly swamp. That's great. And then they have to wander their way through the smelly swamp, and they do that eventually. But then on the other side of the smelly swamp is the Prince Humperdinck and his crew, and... So I think I'm trying to remember, because I remember, when does he team back up with the rest of his people? And I'm not sure about that. Prince Buttercup says, oh, geez, like, I love Wesley. Don't worry. If you like, I'll totally marry you because I love Wesley. Just leave him alone, and then I'll go marry you, Humperdinck, that kind of thing. And I'm not sure how they leave it, but then we get Carol Kane. Oh, no, not yet. Not yet. You're right. So at some point, Humperdinck and the Count has another sidekick. And maybe what happened was that also the prince captured Inigo and what's his name, Andre the Giant's character. It was like a Dickensian name. Oh, Fezzik. They drain out all of Wesley's energy. I think just because Christopher Guest's character has kind of an attitude. And so then Wesley's exhausted, like super exhausted. And I'm trying to think, at some point he says, we got to stop the wedding. Like Inigo and Andre the Giant are like, we love you, man. You spared us. You freed us from working for Wallace Shawn, even though we love Wallace Shawn, his character we didn't like so much. And we really appreciate all that. And he says, Wesley says, well, I'm exhausted. What are we going to do? Or maybe Wesley's even sleeping. Somehow they come across Wesley or they get reteamed up. I don't really remember that part. But they go to see Miracle Max, who dislikes the king greatly. And Miracle Max is played by Billy Crystal, and Millie Max is played by Carol Kane. So you can't really go wrong with that. So Miracle Max gives him like a magical chocolate. I'm pretty sure that's what happens. And he says, you also need true love's kiss to get to back to 100%. And then this is one of the points where they go back to Fred Savage and Grandpa. And he says, ugh, true love's kiss is gross. And he says, is this story over? And then it's like the ticking clock is a wedding day. So, and then Wesley's not 100%. So then they say, Wesley's like, we still got to stop the wedding. Do you two want to help? They say, for sure, man, we love you. So then they go to the castle and they got to figure out a way to get in because there's like tons of stuff. And they got magic stuff. I don't know if Miracle Max gave it to them, but they get a cloak and a few other things and, they use those. So then they like do this cool thing with Andre the Giant and sound effects, and they get into the castle. Not sure what happens after that, other than that they split up and then, they split up. I'm not sure where Andre the Giant goes. Eventually he has to help everybody, but then we get like a couple climaxes. So Inigo Montoya, has to go, like, finds out that the six-fingered man is Christopher Guest, the Count. So they have a showdown. And it's pretty, like, actually, like, a long action scene and a lot of double crosses and a couple of, like a counter, whatever, moves. So there's that. Then I think it ends up that the Prince Humperdinck's, like, a coward. So Wesley goes against him, but he's a coward. Or maybe it's, I don't remember. But so eventually Wesley gets back to Buttercup. They break up the wedding. There's multiple dance offs, I think. The king and queen, they never liked their kid anyway, I don't think. Or the queen, one of them was like, oh, we wanted Buttercup to be happy anyway. I'm probably missing something in there. So they get there. Then they get caught. Then they like have to deal with the count. Then they go to Miracle Max's. Then they go to the have fun storming the castle. Yeah, that's what Max says to them. So I'm just not sure between the Stinky Swamp and Miracle Max's how they end up with maybe they just found Wesley. That seems like pretty synchronous, but it is a magical story. But then, let's see what else happens. So then, I don't know, I think everything worked out. So Inigo gets the six-fingered guy that and his money in the end with interest, total interest. Andre the Giant meets Buttercup and says, hello, you know, you're pretty cool. We heard about you. We're sorry about the other stuff with Wallace Shawn. And she says, Wallace and Gromit? And he goes, no, but I could see why you'd say that. And Wesley, she realizes, she'd already realized it was Wesley. So then they get to go into a courtyard and kiss. That's the last thing. And then Fred Savage learns to love when people kiss because the grandpa says, well, I could stop it here. And he says, why? And he says, well, true love's kiss is the only thing left to go. And he says, it's okay. I'd love to hear about true love's kiss. And I think that's what re-energizes Wesley. Maybe he was still had no energy until true love's kiss. There's some magical power. And then Fred Savage and his grandpa, they basically kind of are peeking in on them making out, like story-wise. And the story comes to a conclusion. All in all, pretty great story. And so, again, if you really enjoyed that movie or the idea of that style movie, this book is a bit different, but the link will be in my show notes for the latest A Welcome to Night Vale novel. The friendly older woman who plays hide and seek in your house. And I really, really think, like, if you enjoyed this movie or this book, you're really going to enjoy this book, this novel. And it's a totally different take on it, but it's definitely, it has the action, it has the adventure, and it has a lot more than that. So I'm only on page, I'm in almost to page 200, and I'm really, really enjoying it, and I think you will too. So I strongly suggest it. Check it out. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody who became a patron recently. Estelle, Kimberly, and Taylor. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Rick, Nancy, and Christopher. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Steve, Tag Girl, and Paula. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Sarah, Emma, and KS. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Jessica, Elizabeth, and Carla. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Chantel, Donna, and Dot. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Sean, Stacy, and Linda. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Danielle, Teresa, and Nicole. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Laura, Lisa, and Claire. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Taylor, Rachel, and Jason. Thanks, 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 and good night. Ye Young, Rachel, and Fletcher. Thanks, 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 and good night. Christopher, Chantel, M to the P. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. And Carrie and Cheryl, thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. So thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Sleeping Week exists as a free podcast because people that support it directly, sponsors, merch, and on Patreon. But you can also support the show for free by just spreading the word. That's another huge way to help other people, help the podcast, and feel good about it. So thank you for that. And speaking of letting you know about something, here's a podcast I want to let you know about. Thanks and good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed, too. Now, I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts, and on Android you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday. of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Postie Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets season one, part two, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 1254 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 1253, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. That was the one we did originally. Then 1252 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, in building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.